Hey, slap somebody high five and you can be seated this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here, man. It's always exciting to come and gather together and to worship the Lord. Did y'all notice some things kind of changing over there next door when you drove up this morning? So yeah, Stephen will talk to you a little bit more about that. I know for a lot of us, there's so many memories over there and so many moments and many people that gave their life to Christ and many people baptized over there in that building. But how many of you know God says in his word, he will never put new wine into an old wineskin, that he will only put new wine into a new wineskin. And we just believe God's building something new and God's going to do a new thing that's mightier and greater than what he did over there. So we just ask you to continue to be praying with us as we move forward in that building process. Welcome. We are in week number 8 of our series, Home Sweet Home, where we've been talking about the importance of home, the importance of parenting, the importance of how it matters how we live our life inside of our home. So today, we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6 because some of you have been complaining. That's what church people do. Can I hear a good amen? Jennifer's going to get on to me for that. I have the words on the screen for you today. I want you to continue to bring your Bible, to continue to bring your phone, your iPad, however you read the Word of God, but we're going to make it easy for you while you're at church and so make you comfortable. Deuteronomy, Jennifer, stop. You know it's true. That's not what you say when we're at home, when they're not looking at you. You say they're the same way. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to read 2 verses and then we're going to pray and see what the Lord would say to us today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7 says this, and these words that I command you today, they shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Holy Spirit, we just simply ask you to speak to us today. Lord, we ask you to come in this place, and you know where we are, and you know what we're facing, and you know our struggles, and you know our weaknesses. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Tailor this message and make it be personal and real and relevant to everyone in this place. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Talking about home sweet home in the beginning in Deuteronomy, God is saying to the family, there's what you got to do. You got to love God with all of your heart. Everybody shout heart right quick. Heart. Heart, it's got to be in your heart. You can have head knowledge of God, but it is not enough. It has to move at some point to where you have the knowledge in your head of God, and it has to move down to your heart, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. And if you love God with all of your heart, the love of God will flow out of your life into your marriage. It will flow down to your children. It will flow onto everyone that you go around. And God says, these words that I command you, they got to be on your heart. And then you have to teach those things diligently to your children. We have not done a real good job in the past couple of generations in America of teaching our children the commands of God. We've not done a real good job of when we were in our homes sitting around and talking about God. We will talk about the weather to our children. We will talk about their school. We will talk to them about the Kansas City Chiefs. We will talk to them about ACU, but we don't talk often in our homes, and we don't teach and train our children about the commandments of the Word of God. And it is imperative, and it is a must, and we have got to get this in our hearts and in our minds. Moses said to God's people in Deuteronomy 6, you got to love the commands, and you got to teach them to your children. I'm going to read you another scripture in a minute from Deuteronomy chapter 11, and it's where Moses repeats this same thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he tells them, love God with all your heart and teach your children. And then 5 chapters later, he says, love God with all your heart and teach these to your children. It's almost like Moses knew that the people that were listening to him preach were a little bit knuckleheaded and they would forget the basic things. It's almost like can I tell you? Sometimes I gotta preach to you the same things over and over again. I got some of you, I can preach a message, and on Sunday you'll meet me at the back door and you'll have your Bible because you've been to church and you have your pencil out and you say, 2020, Cody preached Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. And when I get to the door, you go, well, that was a good message today, but I actually liked it better when you preached it 3 years ago. And you know what I say to you? Well, guess what? Maybe you need to hear that message one more time, and so I preach it again to you today. Sometimes we got to be reminded. Can I tell you what one of my greatest jobs is? One of the greatest struggles of me as a pastor and all the other pastors is just to keep you on the straight and narrow. You know the Word of God. You're raised up in the Bible Belt. You know what you're doing wrong. The Holy Spirit has convicted you. And my job is just to whip your butt back in line and keep you hooked up to the plow and keep you serving God. Because we all have a tendency when things go wrong. Can we be real? We all have this tendency when things don't go our way, when the enemy attacks, when we're not getting our prayers answered, when somebody said something or did something that hurt my feelings, we have a tendency to want to go back to our old ways. It's been happening from day one. God created Adam and Eve when he gave them the garden and everything they need. And what did they do? They went and did the thing that they weren't supposed to do. It's what you and I are. And so Deuteronomy 11, let's read this. I want to read again what Moses said to the people. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 through 26. You shall therefore lay these words of mine up into your heart and into your soul. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in the house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And if you love God with all your heart, and if you teach them diligently to the children, and if you talk about them, verse 21 says, the days of your children will be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you are careful to do all these commandments that I command you to do, loving the Lord, walking in his way, holding fast to him, the Lord will drive out nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, to the river Euphrates, and to the sea. No one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he promised you. How many of you know there's always promises and blessings tied to our obedience? You know what God wants from you? You know what God wants from me? Just be obedient. And if we're obedient to love God with all of our heart, and we're obedient to teach the commandments to our children. Did you hear the promises of God that I just read to you? How many of you know the promises of God are yes and amen? And God is not a man that he should lie. And if we do our part, he will always come through with his part. Listen to these promises. The days, your days and your children's days will be multiplied. How many want your kids to live a long time? Come on, somebody. There is this lie in the world that how I parent and how I live and the example that I set before my kids, it really doesn't matter. And that is a lie from the pit of hell, because the example that you set for your children and the way that you live and the way that you're obedient, those blessings, according to Scripture, will pass down to your children. Come on, somebody. God said, I'll drive out nations before you. God said, I will destroy nations that are bigger than you. You face obstacles that you cannot overcome. You will face obstacles that there is no way to get around. But if you simply are obedient and teach your children to be obedient, God said, I will move mountains out of your way. I will level the low places, and I'll take you to places you've never seen before. And then God says this. I love this right here. Every place that the sole of your foot treads, I'll give it to you. God said, if you just obey me, teach your kids. Everywhere your foot treads, I'll give it to you. I'll tell you about me and Jennifer. We've been married 26 years. We got married. We moved to Tongue River Ranch, Dumont, Texas. Went on our honeymoon, came back there. We lived there about 6 months, and then we moved to Guthrie. We lived there at Guthrie at the 466 for a couple of years. The Lord began to change and began to move and move in our hearts. And we decided, okay, we're going to be obedient to the Lord. We'll go and do whatever. And we said, Lord, we'll go anywhere and we'll do anything, but please don't, we don't want to live in Abilene and we don't want to be full-time pastors and we don't want an Assemblies of God church. If you know our story, within 6 months, we were living in Abilene and we were the full-time pastors of an Assembly of God church in Anson, Texas. But before we became pastor, when we moved to Abilene, we were like, Lord, I want to serve you. You've called me to preach. I want to preach. And so we had some connections. And so all of a sudden, this man called me and said, Cody, would you come preach at my church one Wednesday night? I was like, you betcha, let's go. And so, man, me and Jennifer load up, and we go, and Wednesday night, I get over there, and I preach. And it was not very good, I'm just saying. But it was from the heart, and I preached the best that I could, and I gave it everything I got. And since that time, I've not been perfect, and I've made some mistakes, but I've tried my best to be obedient to the commands of God, and I've tried my best to teach my children to be obedient to the blessings of God. My foot tread over there to that place, and I preached. And can I tell you, 24 years ago, the very building that I preached in over there is the very building that Riley Carver is in this morning, on this Sunday morning, in Bethel Campus in Stamford, Texas, and he's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ over there. Because where my feet tread, God gave that to us. It's so cool. Well, you got to know, you got to believe that. And so let me just tell you, 15 years ago, the Assemblies of God called me and they said, hey, we have a church and this church is dying. This church has had some moral failure. This church is a wreck. It's messed up. They're in debt. They're about to be foreclosed on. We're going to close the doors on this building. Would you be willing to go to this church, take a worship team over there, and do a five-night revival, and every dime you raise, give it to them to get them out of debt to pay for their mortgage? I said, absolutely we will. We went over and did a five-night revival, and we raised like $20,000. And can I tell you, that was 15 years ago. And can I tell you that that church in that town is in Albany, Texas, and it's the very building that Luke Sprayberry is standing in right now preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Because God honors his promises. And you know me, I'm a little rough. I make some mistakes. I lose my temper. I say some things that I shouldn't say. But I've tried to be obedient to God, and I've loved God with all of my heart, and I've taught it to everyone around me. And if God will do that for me, he will do that for you as well. Just be obedient. God said no one would be able to stand against you. God wants our obedience. Can I tell you how important being obedient to God is? Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's read some more. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let God's word speak and not my words. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 26. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Look at me. Look. Every one of you, me include everybody in this place, before us today is set a blessing and a curse. A blessed life or a cursed life. And guess what comes next? A blessing if you obey the commandments of God, and a cursing if you do not obey the commandments of God. Can I tell you, it's time for you and I to grow up. It's time for you and I to accept the responsibility. It's time for you and I to trust the word of God and go, you know what? I'm not going to blame my mommy and my daddy, and I'm not going to blame my upbringing, and I'm not going to blame the government, and I'm not going to blame the preacher. I belong to Jesus Christ. I have been adopted into his family, and today God has set before me a blessing and a curse, and if you want to be blessed, you got to choose and you got to make a choice to be obedient to the word of God. And whether we like it or not, or whether it's politically correct or not, if we are disobedient to the words of God, we are leading our own life and the life of those around us to a life that is a life of being cursed. It's the word of God. You got to choose today. So if you're a timekeeper, start time now. That was all introductory. This is where I want to get down to the biscuits and gravy and the meat and taters right now. It's our responsibility to love God with all of our heart. It's your own responsibility to keep your fire going. It's your own responsibility to be excited about God and let God's passion shine through you. And it's our responsibility to teach and train those that are in our own homes and to teach and train those that we have influence over. That's what I want to talk to you about the rest of the day. If we're obedient, God's supernatural blessings will come upon us. But we have to teach and train those around us. And we've not done good. Genesis chapter 14. last scripture we'll read today. I want us to read this story. Genesis chapter 14, about a man that taught and trained his own children, his own grandchildren, his own friends, the own people he had influence around. Genesis 14, 11 through 16. So the enemy came and took all of the possessions. The enemy came and stole. That's what the enemy does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy from you and me. That's what he wants to do. So the enemy came and took all of the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of their provisions, and the enemy went their way. They also took Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and he was living in Sodom and his possessions and went their way. Let me just stop right there a minute. Can I give y'all a little extra at 9 o'clock this morning? Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was known for their horrible lifestyle that went against the word of God. They were known for free sex. They were known for homosexuality. It was an abomination, Sodom and Gomorrah. And can I tell you something right quick, young people? I want you young people to look at me and listen to me. Where you live and where you dwell and who you hang around with will definitely affect what happens in your life. Lot was a good man from a good family, but he chose to go live in this city where it was free sex and free living and drinking and wild partying and all that stuff. And because he chose to live and dwell there with those people, he was taken captive as well. Who you hang out with and where you live matters. The enemy came to this town, Sodom and Gomorrah, and took all of their possessions and stole the men and women to be slaves. And they stole Lot, Abraham's nephew. Let's go back in verse number 13. Then this one slave who escaped, he came and he told Abram. He said, Abram, they've got your nephew Lot. Verse 14. When Abraham heard that his kinfolk had been taken captive, when he heard that Lot, his nephew, had been stolen into slavery, Abraham led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and they went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his 318 servants, and they defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all of the possessions and also brought back his kinfolk Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. Abraham's nephew gets taken captive. Abraham finds out. Abraham said, that's my kinfolk. Devil, you ain't gonna get my kinfolk. Devil, enemy, you ain't gonna get my kinfolk. That's Lot. That's my brother's son. And so Abraham makes this decision, I'm going to go and I'm going to take back what the enemy has stolen from me. Devil, you're not going to steal from me anymore. I'm not going to just play your game anymore. Abraham said, I'm going to charge the enemy lines and I'm going to take it back. So he felt a little responsibility. What did Abraham do? Let me tell you what he did not do. He did not call the cops to say, go get my nephew that's been taken captive. He did not call the National Guard to come in. He did not call the government to come in and help. He did not call the school system. He didn't even call the church to come and help him out. Abraham said, you know what? I was built for this. I am a warrior. I'm not some pussy-footed, panty-waisted little Christian that shows up at church on Sunday. Man, I've been ready for this. I've been training my very own people that live in my household. He said, that's all I need. Abraham turned to the people in his life that he had trained, and they went and they got back what the enemy had stolen from them. There is so much power in this. Abraham took time to teach and train his own. How much time have you spent teaching and training those that live in your home or that you have influence over? Training them in the ways of God. I'm not talking about training them to rope. Good for you if you can rope, but who cares at the end of the day? Teaching them and training them to do their finances well and to save money. Praise God, they need that. But when it gets down to the nut cutting, who cares how good they can rope, how good they can train a horse, how good they can crack your back, how good they can play a fiddle? We just need some young men in this world that will grow up and be willing to fight for what God has given unto them. We got to teach and train our own. We got to teach and train our own to fight. And I say this a lot, y'all, but I'm telling you, our Christian church has become so soft and weak in America, and we don't want to fight. We're in a fight. We're in a battle, and it's a real battle. It's a struggle. It's a spiritual battle, and we got to get a little bit of a fighting spirit inside of us. It's not all about... We got to teach and train our own how to trust God. These kids that are growing up these days, they're facing stuff that you and I never, ever faced, and we got to teach them to trust God. We got to teach our kids how to pray. How many of you know there is power in prayer? Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about just praying when it all hits the fan. I'm not just talking about praying for a Hail Mary. I'm talking about teaching our children how to pray and start praying for our children, trusting that God hears our prayers and not some mealy mouth kind of prayer, but going, you know what? By the blood of Jesus, I can come boldly to the throne of God and God hears my prayers. And when God hears my prayers, he begins to move on my behalf. Teach our kids to pray and to stand and to defend and to be obedient. Teach your kids to be obedient. Can I? Sometimes in church, we teach our kids how to behave in church, but we don't teach them how to be obedient outside of the church. We teach them to raise their hands and get the stinky face and worship. You know what I'm talking about? And they know how to behave, and they know how to do, and they know what they can do and all this stuff. But you know what? Come on. We got to teach them and train them when they get home. We got to teach them and train them for when they go to school. This is a controlled environment when they're in church. And let them be wild. I don't care. Teach them how to live when they get in the school system. Teach them how to live when peer pressure is hitting. Do something outside of Sunday mornings. Teach and train our kids to, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We need to raise up some kids in our church that will get just a little bit violent when the enemy comes to steal from us. Oh, y'all are getting quiet. Can I just tell you something real quick? There is zero question for me. There's a lot of things I ain't got right, and you know that because you know me. But there is zero doubt in my mind that when struggles hit in my life, and struggles do hit in pastors' lives as well, when struggles hit, when things go wrong, when the stuff hits the fan and I need a support group and I need some help, there is no doubt in mine, I am going to the ones that I have taught and I have trained. If I need somebody, listen, they're a little rough, and listen, one of them cuts hair and one of them flips chicken burgers and washes windows. But I'm going to tell you, when the stuff hits the fan and I need somebody to come to my side that will fight the devil himself, I'm calling Will Cochran and I'm calling Jesse Cochran, and they may not be perfect, but they know how to live and they know how to trust God, and they will come, and together we will charge the gates of hell. I am not afraid to call them. I'm still training on Jennifer. Y'all pray for me. Come on, somebody. She's hard to train. She don't take training well, but she's mine and I love her. And if I need somebody to pray, guess what? That chick is going to pray. You know what? You tell me, Cody, I need you to pray for me. You tell me on Sunday morning on the way out, Cody, pray for this. Can I tell you, by the time I get home, I've done forgot what you told me. But if you tell that woman, she'll wake up in the morning and she'll begin to pray with you. She prays. She remembers. She's on my side, and she's got a temper, y'all, like you ain't never seen. Woo! But that's where I'm going when I need it. And I got a little girl right down here. She's over in the nursery next door. She takes care of the nursery at 9:30 and 11 o'clock. Some of y'all might ought to take some lessons from a 12-year-old about volunteering at church to take care of the other kids where you can come and sit in here. But I'm going to tell you something. She's a tough little rascal, and she's like her mama. And if you need some prayer, you tell her, because I'm telling you, she'll start calling out your name at the breakfast table and lifting your name up to the glory of God. She's tough. When she fights with her brothers, I'm telling you, she's got a little bit of grit down inside of her. And you know what? I'm going to call her. Can I be real with y'all? I'm going to call that 12-year-old girl before I'm going to call a lot of y'all, because a lot of y'all are just divas, and all you're worried about is building your own ministry, and all you're worried about is getting everything that you want, and you ain't in this thing to fight. You just in it to see what you can get out of it. I'm going to call that little old chick, because she's willing to fight. When I get in the bind, I'll call Conrad, that bearded beast that plays the guitar, chicken fried rice from over in Stanford, Texas. He's my guy. I'm going to call Carter when I get to Sweetwater. I'm going to call Luke over at Albany. I'll call Riley up there. I'll call Stephen. I'll call Cole. I'll call Nathan. I'll call Jake. Those people that I have had some influence over, I may not have always been the best leader, but I know they're in this thing to fight. And when I need some help, I'm going to call on them, because we'll charge the devil and run him back to hell where he belongs. Here's the question. What about those you've trained? When the stuff hits the fan, you going to call me, or you going to call those in your own household that you've trained? We've not done real good at training. And I'm not trying to bring guilt or condemnation. I'm saying we got to start training our own. And maybe you're sitting there and you go, Cody, I'm 40, 49 years old. My kids are already grown. And the enemy's trying to tell you it's too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late to start teaching and training your kids and your wife and your husband and those around you. Train those. To trust those that you've trained to fight the good fight of faith. Yep. They ain't perfect, but I'll take the ones I've trained. Wonder what would happen if we started today, if you started today. If we started to understand there was a shift in our thinking and we said, you know what, I'm going to love God with all my heart, but you know what? There's power in teaching and training my own kids and those I have influence over. What if we understood the power of just simply, I'm going to be obedient in front of my kids. I'm going to show everybody around me how to be obedient. What if we started in our generation, y'all? Our world is jacked. Can I hear a good amen? And we want to show up, and listen to me. I love you. I'm glad you're here. But we want to show up on Sunday morning to church. It's good. I'm glad you come to church. Come next Sunday and bring somebody else with you. I'm glad you're here. But if what happens in here doesn't stimulate what happens outside of here, then really coming here has done no good other than to appease your conscience. If we just come and sing and we come and operate in our spiritual gifts and speak in tongues a little bit and watch Connor and listen to Cody preach and drink a little coffee, if that's all we do, it's of no value. It has to stimulate. What if we understood when I get out of here, I'm going to show my daughter how to serve God and give it all she's got and fight in the spiritual? What if we went home and said, I'm going to show my sons? What if we started right here saying, I'm going to choose a blessing and I'm going to pass it on to the next generation? What if there'll be over 500 of you that will gather at Bethel today? What if in 1 year, let's just play this game. Conrad, y'all come help me. What if 1 year from now, what if you made up in your mind, what if the Lord spoke to you today and you said, you know what, I'm going to teach and train somebody. I'm going to disciple somebody. What if in 1 year we raised up an army of 500 other people? That would be 1,000 people. What if in 2 years those 1,000 people trained up another 1,000? That would be 2,000 people that were ready to charge the gates of hell, that were not going to play any more religious games and show up at church and check some box. What if in just a few years it would be multiplication by discipleship, and we would take back our country, we would take back this world, we would have revival like we've never seen before? But it starts right now with you and I. Making that decision. I'm going to ask you to do me some favor today. As you look at your life, maybe you've done good. Maybe you need to do better. But if you're here today, you go, Cody, it's not about me today, it's about the people around me. The Bible says in Hebrews to consider what we could do to stimulate and stir up others to good works. If you're here today and you go, Cody, I'm going to start teaching and training some people. Kids, grandkids, friends, co-workers, nephews. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Just stand up and go, that's me, Cody. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going to start teaching and training. I ain't playing no more games. I need my family. I need my kids. We're going to close with a song of worship. I want you to sing this song like you love the Lord today. Sing this song like you mean it. Let the devil know. Let right now be this moment where you go, you know what? I may have missed it in the past, but I ain't missing it no more. I may have got caught up in myself and got caught up in walking in a fence, and I may have got caught up in what somebody did or didn't do, but right now I feel the Lord speaking to me. And God's given me some influence, and God's given me some children, and God's given me some grandchildren. And from this moment on, I'm going to teach them and train them how to be obedient to God, because I want my children to live a long life, and I want my children to live in the blessings of God. And when that enemy comes at my children, I want my children to be able to stand and look that devil in the eye and say, devil, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I want us to raise up a generation that says, you know what, devil, if one would put 1,000 to flight, two would put 10,000 to flight. Stand up to the devil and say, devil, you ain't gonna tread on me, because my Savior has already tread on you, and you are under my feet. And by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm gonna bring revival. I'm gonna bring the glory to God. It's time for the spirit of Abraham to come over the Christian church, and let's be worried about raising up some men and women that would charge the gates of hell and take back what the devil has stolen from us. Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit and speak to us and convict us of playing some kind of game. Convict us of making about us or about performance. And Holy Spirit, let the spirit of Abraham come on over us, and let us raise up mighty men and women that aren't afraid to fight for what you've done for us. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord.